And we're running.
Let Steve know he's going to stop texting me. I can't run a meeting while he's texting. I'd like to call the August 25th, 2022, South Kingstown Historic District Commission meeting to order. And I'll do a roll call. Richard Youngkin?
Present.
Linda Stedman?
Present.
Murray Gates?
Here.
Dr. Andrew Higgin? Here. David Nedvedek? Absent. And Andrew Martinez? Absent. Approval of minutes is our first order of business, the June 23rd, 2022 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments or revisions on the minutes? Any discussion? Hearing none? Let's vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes to approve the minutes. Next order of business is, under new business, a certificate of appropriateness application for 1774 South Road. We have the applicant present, John Brewer.
Brewer, yeah, that's correct.
This is an application for, find a simple way of saying it. The applicant proposes to install a single central air conditioning unit to replace multiple window units presently in use. The exterior equipment for the central air conditioning unit will be ground-mounted on the north side of the house. I should note that this is plat 23, lot 3. No, plat 23-3, lot 35. Would you like to tell us more about your proposal?
Sure. We're having a ducted AC system installed into the house. The majority of the work is all inside. The air handler and the ducts associated with that will all be in the attic. The only portion of this that will be visible from outside the house is the condenser unit, which we've tried to place, or with the help of the HVAC company, to find a place, a least intrusive place to put it, which is in the corner on the north house. Like you mentioned, it's on the north side of the house. There's some shrubbery that will either be trimmed or maybe removed to make room for it. I believe the pictures were attached to the application. I don't believe that that unit will be visible from the street. That portion of the house is pretty, doesn't face the road, and there's property in between 138 and that side of the house. So I'm hoping the minimal impact.
Thank you. Any questions or comments about this proposal?
So that side of the house has it's like a salt box, the roof comes down.
Correct.
And it's not a split system, as we refer to it. It's
right.
Whole house.
Right, whole house.
So that's the logical place. There's no other way you could do that.
So the opposite. I think it's the best place. It doesn't mean it's not really necessarily perfect. The opposite side of the house is the driveway. Come off the street, follow the driveway. That's the main entrance where people enter and exit the house. We could conceivably put it on that side, but that's not very cosmetically appealing.
Seems to be more exposed on this.
It's more exposed on that side. Right. And the rear of the house, on the around the corner from where we're proposing to put it now, there's a patio, or it's our back patio. So there really isn't room to place it there. The HVAC company, I think, told me that there were other challenges of putting it back there, about how they would run the lines to it.
Right. And it's more efficient to put it on the exterior rather than coming up on the interior of the house.
Oh, so the unit, the condenser unit, will be outside, but the lines that feed it, I think in the original application, it said that the lines would be running basically from the attic down the outside of the house into the condenser unit.
Right.
We have since revised that. I work with the HVAC company to figure out a way to run those lines completely within the house.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, in other words, this drawing, which we have, shows a line coming up the outside?
Right, that line should... there should be no need for that line anymore.
That came in with the original application, like Mr. Brewer said, the proposal at that point in time included the outside, and there was a bunch of additional material showing the cladding and everything that would be used to conceal it, which I didn't bother to include when he informed me that it would all be handled inside the house.
This might be more information than you guys require, but the house, when the house was built, the builder of the house installed lines that go from the basement to the attic. They're not connected to anything. And I told the HVAC, I asked the HVAC company, can we use these? I mean, they're already there. And they gave me this, maybe, kind of, we're going to assume not, and we'll just do the most direct route, which is to go outside them. Which, not even foreseeing having to come here before you guys, I from the beginning, I was not crazy about that plan. So they put their estimate together, and then my father and I went through and traced the lines and figured out how they might be able to take the old ones out and run new ones. Turns out there's plenty of space. Since filing this application, the HVAC company's come back to the final plan, and they're telling me that there should be no problem keeping those lines entirely within that.
So it's really just a condenser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd like to make a motion to approve the application as submitted, and I'm assuming that the landscape, these hydrangeas, looks like abundance of hydrangeas on this side.
Yeah, they are.
Are going to adequately screen the condenser unit?
They should. They're telling me that they mount the pad that the condenser unit sits on is like six inches, I think, from the foundation of the house. And they said as long as it was 4 feet from the foundation away, they would have room. And that hydrangea that's in that corner, although hardly overgrown at the moment, is more than 4 feet from the foundation. So I'm optimistic we can prune that and make it so that you really... it would be tough to see from the street.
So the motion would just include adequate screening.
And Rich, can I ask you to include a discussion in your motion about the plans and materials that have been submitted and the findings of fact and any conditions of approval?
Well, the findings of fact... So, the property is located in the historic overlay district.
Richard,
I think we can just cite them one.
Yeah, if you just read the motion above the table, and then you can simply reference the findings of fact and conditions of approval by reference findings of fact 1 through 5, conditions of approval A through E, that will be fine. Unless there are additional findings or conditions that you want to append to the draft.
Okay, so the motion is to approve the application that has been amended to describe just the location of the HVAC condenser unit on the north side of the house. And I want to cite the findings of fact 1 through 4. But add a condition under number 5. Actually, that should be, excuse me, it's 1 through 5 findings of fact, and then under conditions of approval, I want to make sure that included in the conditions of approval that adequate screening, vegetative screening, be employed to screen the HVAC unit. And that may include the existing vegetation.
Okay.
And that I want to cite the standards and guidelines, talking about section 7, guideline 78, which describes alterations to non-compatible or non-conforming or new buildings that are non-historic in the district, and such as this house, which was built in the early 2000s, that any alterations be in keeping with the design of the house and not be any more incompatible than the house is already.
Right. Well, incompatible just by virtue of being not historic or
Yeah. Actually, it does fit our standards and guidelines in terms of if it was a new, it is a new construction, it fits in.
Right, okay.
It's just our technology, our term for a new house is that it's not historic, it's a non-historic showroom.
Okay.
So with that, I think I've completed the motion.
One second. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. All those in favor of approving the application as the motion.
Could we just do a roll call vote on approval?
Sure.
For this?
Sure. Linda?
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Murray?
Aye.
Shantia?
Aye.
The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
And thanks again for getting the outside stuff off the table.
Yeah, my regret is I wish I guess that we were home beforehand, I could have said from the get-go, hey, this might cause an issue with the historic committee. Can we, wrap this up? Leave that out of the nest. So,
can I ask you one quick question?
Absolutely.
And this really has to do with understanding how residents in the historic district are aware of some of the guidelines that we have before this came up.
Okay.
Did you have an awareness of what the guidelines were for the historic district?
The short answer is no. I knew the historic district existed. Obviously, I live in it. I knew there was a committee for it.
You'd never been given a packet or anything that said, here's the historic district, these are our guidelines.
I don't know. My wife and I moved into the house 4 years ago this summer. It's possible early on we did. I don't recall if anybody did or not. I realized once the... I realized in conversations with the HVAC company when they said, they ran into hiccups trying to get the paperwork filed, that was probably something that I should have taken responsibility for before signing the estimate or before hiring the company to do it. So that's definitely a lesson that's learned. I assume that the historic committee wants to maintain the look and feel of the neighborhood as it is. It didn't quite occur to me that something like this would need to.
Sure.
But if I was putting in like an outbuilding or if I wanted to do massive remodel of the house or something, I would have assumed that there was
right.
Yeah,
no worries. My curiosity is really just about how good we are at communicating to people that live in the community about our guidelines.
Yeah, I don't recall, but that doesn't mean nobody told me.
Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you for answering.
So sure. should you progress on a future project? The guidelines are on the web. You can find them on the HCC site. The town website.
Got it, okay.
And you can always talk to Brian about that.
Yeah. Right.
And Murray, to answer your question, I think I'm not aware of any mass mailings being done recently to the properties in the historic district, but I can certainly suggest it to the planning director as something that should be in the budget for next year. Or if there are surplus budget funds towards the end of the budget year, maybe we can organize a mass mailing to everybody.
We've talked about that. I think that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Good
thank
luck.
You.
Hope
thanks.
Doing well. Mm-hmm. And welcome to the HDC meeting. We'll continue with our business unless there's something specific that you're here for that you want to.
I would just note for the chair, I don't know what your schedule is like tomorrow, but I know the applicant is looking to get started on the work. So I have everything prepared except for the amendment done by Richard. I'll do that first thing in the morning, and whenever you're free to come by and
sure.
sign things, we'll get them signed and walk them over to the building official's office.
Okay, so then I will
you'll I'll let you know.
Perfect.
Okay.
Great, thank you very much.
We have one other item of new business, the South County History Center Kingston project, and Erica Loop, the executive director of the South County History Center, and Caleb
Goodhouse,
sorry, is here as well, so welcome.
Thanks. So we're here just to tell you all a little bit about a resource that we have created to hopefully help the town and HDC and the property owners in the district to maintain their wonderful historic buildings and maintain the district as a whole, and for you to consider applications that come before you. So first off, I need to say thank you. The 1772 Foundation funded this project. Thank you to Rich Youngkin for making it happen. Caleb did a lot of work on this project. It was multiple years, multiple people involved. So very intensive. We wanted to do it right. So we started the project really with two goals. One was to create a photographic record of the present day conditions within the district, documenting everything from, you know, stone walls and WPA plaques and, you know, and the buildings themselves. And then the other was to create, you know, to end up with a resource at the end for the town that would better support the HDC and the property owners. So we used maps, photos, archival materials, and web resources to pull everything together. We this also happened to overlap with a project that was funded by the town to process the town of South Kingstown collection that we hold, which ended up being interesting because that collection includes a lot of materials related to the start of the HDC. So we kind of see what were some of the intentions behind its creation and how we kind of got to where we are today. So what we ended up creating is, it's about a 65-page document, and each page has the address, the name of the house, the lot number. When it was built, we tried to pay extra attention to outbuildings, so if we could date those as well. We've got the present-day photograph and a historic photograph. The source of the photograph, and then we say if there are other materials that are out there, whether at the center or at other resources. So, and I could pass some of these around. I printed a couple just that were kind of interesting to look at, you know, how much the buildings have changed. This is another one. Just send those around. We also included the town well, which has a lot of photos, but was a lot more ornate in earlier days. The other thing that was kind of interesting looking back through everything was the successes that I think the HDC has had since it was founded in the 1950s. The Fairweather House, really, I don't know that it would have survived without the HDC stepping in. And the brown houses on the corner of Kingstown Road and 108 that were restored in the 90s. So this document, so we're working with Brian to provide virtual access to the planning department to this material of the survey itself or the report itself, as well as the photographs, the higher resolution versions of the photos, and all of the photos that we've taken. So it's hundreds of photos. We're working on the virtual access so that we can update everything regularly as new materials come to us. And we're actually finding things all the time, so we want to kind of make it a living document. And then Brian and I also discussed, as things come to the HDC, if there are changes, we can kind of reverse integrate that into the report as well. So some interesting, wanted to just share a couple of interesting findings and then I can answer any questions that you have. But so when you include the outbuildings, the bulk of the buildings in the district actually date to the 19th century. And there are actually more 20th century buildings than 18th century, if you count outbuildings. There are still some 19th century outbuildings in the district, and that what we can see, they're actually in pretty good condition, so kind of exciting. There were so many online resources of materials that have really great photos from Kingston, including the Massachusetts Digital Commonwealth database and Providence Public Library. The other place that we ended up pulling a lot from is Zillow, and kind of to Murray's point about sending things, you know, out to property owners in the district, if you look at all of the properties in the district and how many have turned over ownership in the last couple of years, it's been, you know, quite a few houses that have changed over. And what's helpful with that is that usually they take pictures around all the outside, every part of the building, the property itself, as well as outbuildings. So properties that we couldn't necessarily get onto ourselves, we could still pull together those photographs.
Were those photographs on the internet because they were real estate agent photographs?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it and there's so many of them. And what's great, I mean, as a, you know, working in historic preservation as we do, there's so many interior photos in all of those as well. So it actually ends up being a really great resource. And it seems like most of the time those pictures are staying out there. So for those photos, we did download them because it's not like a database of, you know, an archive or something like that. So we wanted to make sure we grabbed them. But so there's quite a few photos from Zillow and Realtor.com.
I think that's a great way to leverage the stuff that's out there. I'm curious, the stuff that you're getting from that, is it of adequate resolution to be meaningful? Because I know a lot of internet photos are just really light resolution things.
The newer photos are.
Okay.
I was finding Zillow photos that were posted back to like 2012. So those photos weren't necessarily great. And of course, you know, sometimes they put weird filters on them and things like that. They're trying to make it look really nice. But for example, the Potter House on Potter Lane, it's private drive. I didn't want to go back there. There's the photos in the GIS of what the buildings are that are back there because there's two additional houses on the property, but they're photographed in the Zillow listing. So you have a great front on, good resolution photograph of those buildings.
You should talk to Carol Baker in our GIS person, because we have access to something called Eagle View, which allows you to not just look down, but to angled views, so that rather than seeing rooftops, you will actually be able to see some elevations on buildings. So if there's something you're interested in seeing that you can't seem to get a good look at, I will call Carol and see if she has access to
something. Oh, that's great, yeah. And the other thing is, on listings now, they're starting to use drones, so you get cool aerial photos too. So it's kind of amazing the material that's out there. You know, of course, it's not necessarily stable when it's on Zillow or Realtor.com, but try to capture things as we see them. So the other thing I just thought was fun to mention is, why was the HDC founded, and kind of what were the origins of it? And it really goes back to, there was the Whiting family that owned a diner down in Wakefield wanted to put a soda fountain in the Kingston Hill store. And pretty much every resident in Kingston signed a petition saying that they did not want that in Kingston, that it would be...
What year was it, Erica?
This was 1958, I think. And it was right around the same time that the state was passing the historic district regulations. Mm-hmm. So when they did start the district, the proposal was that the district was going to be smaller, and that the HDC itself, the membership, would include, that the members would be nominated by the nonprofits in the village. So Petawamskit, Kingston Improvement Association, Kingston Free Library, Art Association, the church, would all be the people, the organizations would be nominating the members. So, and that it would always include one district resident. So it's interesting, though, just to see how things have changed over time. The other thing that was kind of interesting was, it seems like the biggest fights that the HDC has had with property owners in the district has been with the church.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, that had primarily to do with their efforts, I think, on siding issues.
It was the stone walls in front of the building and the addition that goes between.
Oh, the addition.
Yeah.
which...
What's the date of the addition?
1965, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think the siding issues were what we said. Couldn't keep the paint on the siding.
Oh.
But they found out that it was a moisture issue that they could correct, and I think they corrected it.
Yeah, and the other thing, there was this issue of they shored up the retaining wall in front of the church, but they used, like, concrete or something, and they ended up having to go back and, like, dye it or somehow change the color of it so it would match, but...
Yeah, I think we're going to put final siding, or siding.
Yeah. But yeah, so can I answer any questions?
I'm curious, the records you got from the town on HDC, what's that material? I'm just curious.
It's a lot of material kind of in advance of the founding of the HDC. It seems like most of it came from Dr. Metz, who was involved with founding the HDC. There's correspondence between it was kind of under Petacomsk Historical and the Providence Preservation Society and some of the other groups that were starting historic districts at the same time, and also with the state itself as the state was passing the regulations. And then there were a lot of the internal meetings and things like that as they were trying to hash out exactly the district would be, who would be on it, all of those types of things. And it seems like a lot of it was really driven also by the Kingston Improvement Association. So
it doesn't have all the past applications that we can't ever find. I was hoping it would past applications, which would have great photographs, often they don't.
We may be able to find some of that stuff now because Carol's been poking around looking for maps for her GIS upgrade, and we've found a number of boxes of HDC documents stored elsewhere in the town other than at Town Hall. So I will have to go and pull those boxes and see what's in them.
Yeah, we do have some that came in, like, from property owners, it seems like, that, you know, as, you know, we have records from the church as the church was trying to get things pushed through and things like that. And a lot of clippings about the different battles that happened over the years over different things. But also, like I said, the successes. There were a lot of attention when those two brown houses were redone by the Thunbergs. Back in the 90s when they were really, really bad shape.
All right. Questions for Erica,
Kayla? Great job.
Well, yeah, fantastic. Thank you, 1772.
Yes.
So the access, there'll be open access to these, to the archive, researchers that might come in, property owners that might be interested.
Yep.
Brian might be interested from time to time to get more detail on applications. Any of us who are interested.
Yeah. Yep.
And you'll have a protocol set up for that.
So most of what we do is we ask people to submit research requests, but you know, we are hopefully setting something up with Brian so that we'll have a little bit more streamlined.
Yeah. Knowing Brian's schedule, he may want something, you know, quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hopefully, yeah, we'll be able to do this electronically.
Yeah.
But I have to work through some cyber issues with our IT staff about how to access it safely within the town's IT protocols.
Right.
Yeah, because we also can't, because of that, we also can't really like hand flash drives back and forth between the town and be excited about that. So, but new material is coming in all the time, so we want to, you know, not kind of like print it and walk away, you know, create something that's we're able to maintain.
Good.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. Sorry about July.
All right.
Old business.
Madam Chair, before we get into the two matters that we have on old business, might I suggest that we maybe jump ahead to 6A?
Yep. Correspondence and public comment. So public comment on Old North Road traffic. Can you give us a little bit of background on this, Brian, please? I know we've received correspondence.
Yeah, I received email last week, I believe, from Mr. Barbato, who's here.
Welcome.
With comments on traffic issues on Old North Road. After reviewing the letter that was submitted, I did respond saying that I was not sure whether this was really something that was within the purview of the Historic District Committee, because our job by statute is really focused on structures, but it is a public meeting, so I, you know, certainly Mr. Barbato is welcome to come here and speak with you. And if there is anything we can do, we can talk about it.
Can I give you a quick spiel?
Sure, everybody, I just want to note for those on the commission.
Can you, just for the record, name and address?
John Barbato, 26 Old North Road, Kingston. We've lived at 26 Old North Road, which was built in 1795, I think, for approximately 18 years now. Know all of the people in the community, you know, from Judge Indeglia to, I've been on the board of the South County Art Association, and I've been on the board of the Tavern Hall in past years, and I was vice president there. And have noticed over a period of time the increased traffic, which has been shifted over to Old North Road from Upper College Road. And I know that maybe it falls a little bit beyond your area of responsibility, but as the Historic Commission, I look at it this way, that it's the entire environment that we're dealing with here that keeps Kingston Historic District, you know, in not only the buildings, but the people and the lifestyle that's there. The only thing that I'm asking for from you is that a letter in support of us, Joy Utter has kind of headed up this, Reverend Joy Utter, I don't know if you know, familiar with Joy. She came before you a few years ago when they rebuilt their recreation house on Old North. And I, you know, things have really got out of control on the street, you know, from speed, people going the wrong way on there. And the only thing I'm asking the Historic Commission to do is to give us a letter of support. Joy and myself, my wife Susan, are going to put this together along with support from all of the people along that live on Old North Road, including, you know, hopefully the church and the schools up there. And then we can ask them to do some reasonable traffic controls on there that'll keep a portion of the historic district, which you guys, you know, dearly love and pay a lot of time and attention to, you know, a safer place to live. So if we could get some type of letter from you just saying, we're in support of keeping the historic district in Kingston in a safe manner for people walking around, looking at the buildings, whether it's, you know, in Kingston days, it would be appreciated. And that's all I'm asking for. You know, we're gonna go to the town ourselves. We're gonna take it as far as we can. They're in the process of rethinking, of redoing. And Brian, you may know better than I just know they're up there marking up the street, getting ready to redo the road. A few crosswalks and one of those traffic control signs would be really helpful. So in fact, I came by one on the road coming down here. We have schools and churches up on Highland, you know, the other end of it, just beyond the historic district. It seems to me sensible that to do something about it now before something really bad happens, and it's inevitable unless they do something. And I mean, I've gone personally to the police department and, you know, they've given it some attention, but joy really has brought this back to the surface again. And, you know, there's a mixture of families, elderly people, students coming down the street. You know, I don't have to tell you anything.
What do you think? Has something changed that has caused this? I mean, there's obviously a school there that wasn't there 10 years ago. And there's been work on Upper College Road that's changed something. But what's your take on
that? It appears to me, and I'm just... One, you know, they redid Upper College Road and they put the speed bumps in. Two, somehow the university, who has not been all that warm and fuzzy to Kingston or to South Kingston, the town, have directed all of their deliveries and construction people to use Full North Road.
Mm. That makes sense.
That's really not the worst of it. You know, I personally don't have any problem with school buses going by. You know, I like to, you know, in the afternoon there's a bunch of them that go up to the Compass School and in the Kingston School. It's more people who come off 138 suddenly think that they have a freeway and they just wind up their cars or trucks, pickup trucks, and just roar down the street. And sooner or later, something really bad's going to happen. And there's a fair amount of people who, university people, in that when traffic is built up on Upper College Road on the way out, decide that they're just going to take the shot and go running down the road the wrong way. Now, I can tell you unequivocally, in the whole time I've lived there, they have never driven down that road the wrong way. You know, because I just wouldn't do it. You know, it's against the law.
Right.
A lot of people don't care. I think we're asking for one additional sign up at the end of Old North Road, where the historic district ends, that is plain and clear. They've got two signs now up to either side there. But people, you know, I mean, continuously I stop people and tell them, you know, and anytime we have anybody come to our house, we make sure that they understand that you gotta just go around the block. It's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, a nice letter from the Historic Commission certainly will just add to our list of all the people on the street that are supporting this. And we're going to go to the school and the churches, which are outside the historic district, and ask for their support. I believe that we have some of the people from some roads that come off there. So it's a matter of keeping the historic district kind of as historic as possible, you know, in the environment.
So what I'd like to do is first ask people on the board if they have questions, and then what I would suggest I'd like to do, because I think we'll certainly consider it.
Thank you.
I want us to look at what our enabling bylaw tells us is our direction, and see if we can find a spot in there to justify this type of letter. I mean, it's not obviously that we don't care about it. We do. And I think in an ideal world, I'd love to say no problem. But we have to be careful about what our purview is. And so I think Brian and I will, you know, look at the bylaw and sort of think about how we could frame this, if there's a way to do it that we
can
support.
That would be terrific.
But let's hear from other commissions on your...
I'd certainly be supportive, Mr. Barbato. I would have made introductions on a couple of occasions. I lived up Briar Lane.
Yep.
For 20 years, and I think Briar Lane actually suffered more because of the one-way nature of Old North Road. So we got a lot of traffic coming down Briar Lane. And, we moved out principally because of the environment, the changing environment, which has been in process ever since the university moved in. But it certainly accelerated over the last 5 years. So what I'm trying to say is I sympathize with your position. It's is something that should be corrected, and I would support a letter, you know, pending Shanti and Brian's review.
Murray, what do you think, what do you think the options are? I mean, I'd be curious to know. You lived there for a long time.
I also reached out to the police department and got no reply whatsoever, and it was unfortunate. You know, I was in personally had accidents and experienced road rage from other drivers. So it's just an environment that I was no longer willing to. And I, what I'm getting at is I don't have any resolution. I moved out.
Yeah.
I gave in. I threw in the red flag and said the white flag.
But I'm wondering about communications with the university and whether they are in fact directing traffic and if there's some angle there. Rich and
Well, I think there are two things that you could. I'm in favor of writing something too. But traffic calming activities sort of struck me, and which is a whole range of things that can be done. Some are in concert, some are individual. But to try to get that traffic to slow down and try to get people to better understand the one-way nature of that first part of Old North Road. Because I think that resonates with me, the livability of the district in that zone. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have actually some of our good residential properties on that part of Old North Road. When you think about it, it was always a little bit more desirable to live there than right on 138 because you're a little bit off the traffic. And we do have some nice, very nice houses there with single family residential. And some of them are for sale. There's some change going to go on. But we want to make that, we want to keep that as a very viable, high-end part of the district. The word traffic calming came to mind. The other thing was that we not only have our jurisdiction, which is purely the enabling law and reviewing alterations to historic buildings and landscapes in the district, but we also have a role under the comprehensive plan and how we interact with the town, with the goals of the comprehensive plan. And one of our overarching goals is to ensure the preservation of historic buildings throughout the town. So even if this was in Peacedale or in Main Street, Wakefield, we do have a little bit of a role to say to the town as advisors, this is important stuff. We're talking about viability of the residential nature of a district, or in terms of Main Street, could be the commercial viability of the district. So you're absolutely right that if you don't have the people there, you're not going to have the district there. We can't have a district of museum houses that are static. We want them to be lived in, enjoyed. We want people like Mr. Brewer here to move into the district and build new houses too. They're compatible. So we want that viability. That's what makes historic preservation work. So I just hope we can find a way to write a nice letter that's informative. I would say also that I know I'm rambling, but the control sign that you saw on Broad Rock Road, I think we can fit a control sign in that is noticeable but doesn't detract either from the nature of the district. Those are basically, I've always thought of them as temporary too, to try to cool people down to get into the habit of driving. Now maybe one of the old North Roads could be there forever. I don't know, because the population of students changes. The other thing, of course, that's happening is all that parking, that perimeter, that parking that students have to go through with the new parking arrangements on campus. I think they're probably in a yank to get down to the parking lots down at the bottom of Flag Road. So they get the shuttle bus and get back up. Either that or they have to go right through Kingston and get jammed in traffic before they can get down by Keeney Gym and go in. I mean, it's probably quicker to go up Old North Road to get to those parking lots and go the other way around on Plains Road. So they have created, I mean, I'm not a fan of what's happening at URI at the moment. And I put that on the table. But their traffic control system is probably interacting with Old North Road, I betcha.
And what is your time frame?
Our time frame? Probably sometime after, right after Labor Day, when everybody's back around.
Okay.
Just want to make two more comments. One, I saw this great show on TV the other night called Love Letter to the Cape, all about historic preservation.
Oh, huh.
I mean, it was, they've long been vacationers at the Cape, on Cape Cod, and in a house that was built in 1936, right before the hurricane. Okay. Unfortunately, it recently, because of health conditions of the people that we rented it from, had to sell it, and of course they're going to tear it down. And I mean, it's got a terrific story about being built farthest back on the farthest dune. So in the next year, you know, 38 hurricane came and that whole dune was gone. And then we were just down there 3 or 4 weeks ago looking at a house down there that was built in the 1800s that's controlled by historic, and they're not going to let it tear it down. But in that time frame, I also found out from the broker that Barnstable, which is, you know, in the next town up just past Dennis, where we go, they put a moratorium on tearing down the houses.
Oh,
18-month moratorium. But in addition to that, the more interesting thing that goes back to the traffic is that they put in the downtown, which is really a nice downtown. It's got potteries and a very vibrant downtown. They put speed bumps in there on Route 6A.
I was going to say Route 6A, Kings Highway, right?
And it works.
Wow.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Now, I always take 6A when I go down there because we like driving down through the and all the old houses and everything. And, you know, you get into town, the traffic is slow. I'm talking about going forward for, you know, what we're gonna do in our downtowns, you know, in Wakefield. And
right.
As we look to preserve.
We actually have consultants right now looking at investing some of our ARPA money in our historic villages. And some of the proposals are along the lines of what you're discussing.
But I mean, if you you know, if you need any background on it, Barnstable, they've done a super job with it.
It's Barnstable where they've put the speed bumps in the downtown.
Right in the downtown.
Yeah.
And it hasn't adversely affected their business at all. It's probably helped.
People aren't rushing through
because everybody comes down from town and you.
Well, they can see what they're going through instead of zooming along.
And I mean, nobody's car's getting damaged by it or anything to kind of those new gradual, and they die in the sidewalk, you know, the walkways on the top, similar to what they did at the university.
Right.
So anyways, that's my 10 cents worth, and thank you for the time. I know that was kind of
unscheduled.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions or concerns?
I've been down North Road, and I feel for it. I go down North Road to get down Plains Road.
Plains Road.
Because it's easier.
But
I can tell you that going to functions down there, and even going the back way to go up through North Kingstown, there's a problem on the other side also. Mm-hmm. People come out of there and they fly down Stony Fork Road. And they fly down Slocum Road.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up there, and they're looking for any easy way to get there. If you're coming from 138 going west, you're going to take North Road instead of going up through Upper College Road. Because it's just more convenient.
May I ask one completely unrelated question? I know I did this with these folks as well. Was that two-story building in your backyard, was that a schoolhouse, do you know?
The two-story building, and you know, there's two buildings in my backyard.
The tall, thin one.
There's the little one that, right down my driveway. That was a hay barn and and I think, according to the town records, it was built like in the 1900s. The house next to it down the other driveway, that particular house was the barn to my house. You know, the actual real barn.
Sure.
And I don't know when it got converted into a house back. I mean, I've got a whole ton of records from the people who had the house before me and before, actually two or three owners backwards gave me a whole stack of records on the, you know, on the fights between the landowners, you know, and which there were a few over the years, I guess.
But if you allow me, I'll knock on your door sometime and I'll show you a photo of that building, which is captioned First Kingston Schoolhouse.
Huh. Which one's that?
The two-story, very thin two-story
structure. Really?
Mm. But I'll stop by. Outside of the meeting, I'll knock on your door. And talk.
I've got a great picture of from 1938, right after the hurricane, of a fellow standing in the field next to it with a handsaw and just stacks and stacks of trees that they had, and kind of shows that house hasn't changed much since then.
Did you see Erica's? It passed. It was one of the ones Erica's.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they had my house in the area.
Didn't
they? But no.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for the time,
we'll
guys.
We'll work on this, and Brian will be in touch.
Stop by and bring it up anytime.
I'll certainly do that.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your evening.
All right, we're now down to old business. We have the HDC camp training program. Rich, do you want to give us update on that?
Because we have a time crunch here, I'm just going to say that Brian did a fabulous job, got the registration materials out. You've gotten some responses already.
I've got five registered.
Five registered already. So we're on it. We're moving forward. We extended the deadline. 9th. I think Brian's going to send out some reminders, but we hope to fill it. We're still talking about that extra $2,000, trying to get a contract for those extra two sessions. And I know that Murray brought up design districts other than historic districts. That was in the minutes last time we met. So I'm working on with Marie whether there's an option to include that with design review, you know, any of these questions that we have locally for these areas that are not within the historic district, but the planning board's talking about design review on. So that's just something that's sort of formulating.
Okay.
The other one is about our own enforcement issues. Mm-hmm. So those are the two additional, they'd be by Zoom later.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they will not happen on the Saturday, the 15th. They will happen later by Zoom.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else on camp?
Only that we'll have to, Brian and I are going to start to think about food and how to do that.
I think we had talked about Dave's.
I think the way to do this might be to take a vote to direct staff in consultation with the chair and vice chair to make arrangements for catering and food so that we can do that without having to come back here for a vote on everything. I don't want to wind up in a time crunch and not have the arrangements made.
Right.
Can I have a motion to that effect, please?
How many staff and catering organization?
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Great. Anything else, Rich, on camp? Are we ready to move to applications?
I think we're ready to move to the applications.
Okay. Brian proposed amendments to certificate of appropriateness application forms. All would receive a file of congrats from Brian over the last couple of months with kind of a new approach to our application process. Brian, give a quick.
Yeah, so what I've basically done is modeled this after the way our planning applications are handled, in that we have basic forms that come in with every application regardless of what it is, and then we have specific checklists that go with specific kinds of projects. I came up with a central application form. You know, my hope would be to make this, you know, a fillable online form. They would still have to submit it in hard copy as a way of triggering our review time, but it would be easily fillable. It specifically directs them to identify the characteristics of what they're doing. It specifically directs them to our preservation standards and asks them to identify which ones are going to apply. It was suggested a while back that in section F, at the top of the first page, that we somehow make each standard linkable. That is possible, but I basically have to take our standards and guidelines, break them down into individual PDFs to link each number to. So it's just a time thing, but it can be done. And it's not something that would require a formal vote or something to do in the future, because you're just augmenting the existing form. And from there, we would have them go to filling out the appropriate application checklist for what they're doing. I asked, you know, for people to submit comments. I really didn't get much in the way of comments. Richard did make a couple with regard to the exterior alteration form, which is really the one that I struggled with the most as to how much to ask for, because these are the kinds of things that can cover almost anything, from an air conditioning system to you know, what Richard was concerned about, which are things that are not additions but still change the exterior character, like going from one style of window to another style of window, or cutting a hole in a wall and putting a window in or a door in where they didn't exist. So that was the form I was actually struggling with. And what Richard proposed was basically two things. One, adding a requirement for architectural sketches. If you were going to change the visual character of the outside of the building with something. So this would be sort of the middle ground between routine maintenance and an addition where you're physically expanding the building.
Right.
So
right.
We would get a little bit of additional information from them saying, this is what it's going to look like. And I think that's an idea. So I would propose adding a new row on here requiring those sort of architectural renderings or elevations whenever they're making one of these changes to the architectural fabric of the outside of the building.
Yeah, thinking about 86 where they wanted the window placement. I think they wanted to shift the window placement on the north elevation of the building or something to that effect. Remember, there were some windows that were smaller, and they were talking about the Haggerty, the old Haggerty.
Yeah, place. Yeah.
They wanted to change the size of the windows, they wanted to move things around a little bit.
Right.
You could have a situation where they had a
historical
precedent for doing it.
Right. So I think the key here will be articulating when well articulating when a sketch or an architectural drawing is needed. But I agree with that. And then there was something.
And then the second thing that Richard proposed was that for new construction, be it, and I believe you mean full buildings and or additions,
yeah.
A streetscape rendering showing the addition relative to abutting structures.
I thought that we had that in here.
You do, but it's to like a small 30 feet, I think, or something.
I mean that certainly makes sense too, and
my suggestion was that because particularly when you get into the idea of additions, you know, if you're adding something on the back of the building, it may not be necessary to ask them for a rendering because it's not going to affect the streetscape, that maybe we list this as the historic district
may
require the applicant to provide these things. That way they're on notice that they could be required to do it,
yeah.
And that would give me the lever when the application comes in to say, yeah, you may not want to wait to do this until you get to the meeting and then have to come back.
Right, right.
So
Brian, it looks like, I wonder if it's moving number 10 a little bit, revising the language in number 10.
Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
Just move that one.
Yeah. So with those two changes, Brian making those two changes, are all of us comfortable voting on this?
I only have one change,
sure.
Or one comment, and it has to do with 6D,
which I think on the new
buildings and additions checklist.
Oh, okay.
I think that we don't necessarily have to change the form. It's just something that we've talked about before about these, what happened with the new house on South Road.
Mm-hmm.
The builder, I hadn't experienced this when I was a planner, or working with architects. But apparently now it's a new thing for builders to show us drawings that have this made up contour interval where it starts at 100 feet and they just tell you what the difference is. That's what was happening on South Road. I can understand that for building purposes that works because the contractor's only thinking about that immediate area and what he's doing to the land there. But we have to think about a much broader area which came into being with that South Road property. And we got muddled up, or at least I got muddled up, trying to figure out, what is the true contour interval? What does the GIS tell us, or the USGS maps, for that matter? It's not 100 feet there. Kingston is well above 100 feet above sea level. So I just wonder if there's a way for us, and maybe Brian can do this, you know, case-by-case basis, to get the real topography so we can compare that lot with an adjoining lot or the elevation of a house that's nearby. So we know that that house elevation from looking at the GIS, for instance, is at such and such feet above sea level, and the elevation of the proposed is at such and such above sea level. I mean, it's sort of like if we don't have the data for the new house in real world contours, it's hard for us to compare it with the real world information we have for the adjoining property. That's just...
Well, we're asking here for existing topographical contours, 2 feet intervals.
Yeah, well, I think the generality of that, the builder's going to give that 2 foot contour with this made up baseline of 100 feet.
But how is it existing then?
Existing conditions. So,
right.
You know, before any changes that have been made to the topography as part of the building process. I mean,
right.
Richard's asking for...
you want it to be baselined at sea level.
Yeah, but in the real world.
Which would require a surveyor to find a benchmark, an established benchmark by the, you know, USGS, and then transfer all of their survey work in from that benchmark, which is going to be extremely expensive.
Well, why do you say that?
Because survey work is extremely expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have to transfer at any distance. That's why, you know, when people come to me and say, I need to have my boundaries surveyed, I say, go to all your neighbors, find out if they've had theirs surveyed, because then the surveyor can come in and start from existing work.
Well,
and surveyors don't share. They have their own books on where they've worked.
Well, I can say this, that if this was a coastal historic district, there would be no issue. It would be real world. We'd have to have a real world to judge the flood implications. So I don't see that this is any different than Wickford Village. I'm sure Wickford Historic District Commission requires real world topo so they can figure out whether there's a floods issue or not.
But we're not Wickford. We are not at sea level. And
what happened to Newport?
This is going to go above my head because it's going to make applications much more difficult for people. And I'll be glad to bring the planning director back to discuss it. But I don't see that, A, that it's necessary, or B, that it's practical for applicants within the district. It's well above what the standards would be for normal development practices in the town.
So I would like to know then what East Greenwich does, what Wickford does, what Newport does. We'll rattle off some more. So if you're going to change, Narragansett.
I also, and this came up with South Road as well, that I think you are straying from your authority in getting into trying to control water flow to the...
This has nothing to do with water flow. It has to do with the raising up of the foundation above what is consistent within the district.
And you guys did a great job with South Road. The information that you had worked. And you stopped it and brought the foundation back down. I don't know that there's a problem there that needs to be fixed.
Well, we possibly would have known what was happening. Of course, that was, they had varied from the approval.
Right.
But it took us a while to figure out what was happening because we had to convert it to real, or try to convert it to real world.
Well, yes, Rich, but we also could just tell that it was a problem. Right, I mean, we saw there was a problem because of the stuff around.
Yeah,
right?
But it was still visually, it was, yes, it was apparent.
So I think where you're heading is it becomes much more objective if we have a baseline.
Yeah.
But we had the elevations in the original prints.
They had nothing to do with
the adjoining property. Just went and did what they wanted to do.
Yeah, but those elevations had nothing to do with the contoured intervals of the adjoining property in terms of what... They were saying everything was at 100, right, so...
We always start at base 100,
yeah.
Always.
But the other properties are not at 100. So for a layperson to figure that out, to figure out that that elevation, first of all, you would think, right, if you weren't aware of that, that all the other properties should be at that elevation, and they're not. They're at, you know, 190 or something. So that would really be very confusing. And then the other thing is that you can't, I mean, where is it? What is it at then? It's not at 100, it's at something. It's at 190 something or 180 something.
So Rich, I'm going to make a suggestion here. I would like us to entertain a motion to approve all of the material with the discussed revisions except for the new buildings and additions that we will continue to work on, because clearly we're not going to resolve that tonight. And we're also not likely tomorrow to get a new building application. So yeah, we could table this for the September meeting, and let's vote on the rest so that Brian can get these in the works. And we will come back to the new buildings and additions in September and talk, or at our next meeting, whenever that is.
My only concern with that, Madam Chair, is that we sort of leave a hole in our applications until we do have this to fill it.
Well, the other option is we approve it as drafted and continue to explore it, and may need to vote on revising that. But I'm thinking that's not going to satisfy my colleague.
No, that's fine. I don't mind that. I think it's something that we have to... These are, in fact, what I was going to say is that these... These are these checklists. These are all projects in motion. They're going to have to be revised and changed and updated. They shouldn't get all locked up. We're just seeing if they will work better than what we've got.
Yeah.
That's okay. My point of view.
So, could I have a motion to approve the proposed amendments to the CFA application forms? As submitted in our packet and as with the revisions discussed tonight. Yes, may I have that motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the wonderful work that's been done around the CLA application form and its ancillary documents with the revisions that have been discussed as well. Do I call out the specific revisions, or is that sufficient?
I think we're clear on the revisions. Does anybody need them?
I just had one question on the architectural reference. Do you mean by, like, a licensed architect, or that you wanted for the exterior alterations?
Well, I mean, that would be appropriate for new buildings and additions. I'm not sure if it's required for the
exterior alterations.
We could say architectural sketches, drawings, or renderings.
Yeah.
As determined by staff.
And to scale.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I think this is going to evolve as Brian gets into it further.
Okay.
We're going to find little pitches here and there.
Will you revise your motion to accept that additional language?
as discussed.
Okay, perfect, that's fine. All those in favor of the motion?
Did we have a second?
Oh.
Second.
All those in favor of approving the motion?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And wonderful work doing
Thank
putting
you.
It all together.
Yeah, I think they were great. I'm excited to see them rolled out. And I know we've got at least one application coming from the History Center next month. Next, we have just a couple of updates from Ryan. Several updates.
Yeah, just quickly, the Wakefield Historic District expansion to include the post office building and the park was formally approved by the National Park Service.
Congratulations.
So, and the bridge is included in that as well. So that's great. Two, we do have a GIS intern, finally. Her name's Abby Medeiros. She'll be starting with the beginning of the semester. She will be at our next meeting. Carol is already churning and burning to get stuff that Abby is able to start contributing to. One thing we found out, and Murray will be interested in this, is that we got the information from the state and we've been trying to correlate it to what's in the book, and there are more things in the book than are numbered by the state. We did discover that those unnumbered, unaddressed sites are on a map that was created with the 1984 survey. Now we're trying to find the map, because if Carol can get the map, we can scan it in and geolocate it to the town and at least figure out where those other things are or were.
Yeah.
And so she's...
Is it an HPHC map?
Yeah. The survey book says that there's a copy at HPHC, that the town has one, that statewide planning has one, that the former Department of Community Affairs, which no longer exists, has one. She's been through the vault and through the boxes in the basement, can't find it. She was out at some other sites outside the town hall that have some documents and hasn't found it. Our HPHC doesn't seem to have it. I put in a question to statewide planning to see if they have it. So we're hoping it turns up someplace. It's not a small map. It's a 1 inch to 1,000 feet.
Oh,
it's a
wow.
big map. So
it's probably a Mylar. It's probably a Mylar.
It could be.
Yeah, I would imagine it is. Yeah.
Wow.
In which case, you can't just fold it up and.
Right.
Not only that, how the heck is she gonna get it into her system?
Well, we have a huge scanner, so we could.
All right.
Scan it in. And I have no further updates on. So
all right.
That's where we're at.
Great. Anything else? We have discussion and possible action to reschedule September. That's right. We were scheduled for the 22nd. We can't do that for some reason.
Well, our intern is unable to make the regular meeting date on the 22nd. The 20th is available in council chambers, Tuesday the 20th.
Same time.
The entire evening is currently available in council chambers. If that works for everybody, we can move it and have our intern at the meeting. If not, we can kick her off to the October meeting.
No.
But I'd kind of like her to hear from you guys relatively early on in the process.
20th works for me.
I have a conflict that day.
Oh dear. We have to be very careful about our quorum because we have any more from Andrew?
I've had a couple of emails with him. He at some point says that he has personal considerations that may make him step away, but he does say he would like to continue. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure where that's where that's tipping for him.
Okay.
I know we all have things going on in our lives. And sometimes people need to step away from their extracurricular activities like this. But, you know, he does provide valuable input to the board, and I would hate to lose him if possible.
Could alternate dates then? And would Wednesday be the 21st?
That's fine.
Wednesday, when we would have to do an alternative location. Zoning board has council chambers on the 21st.
I'm fine with that.
I have to see if it works with the intern.
Okay, so why don't you work on that and let us know? Because it sounds like the 20th might be an issue.
Okay. Let me reach out to Abby and see what's what.
And why don't we check just so you have information Monday the 19th?
Monday the 19th, there is a committee meeting scheduled for council chambers. Again, I would have to arrange for an alternative.
I mean, there's 5 Thursdays in September, so yeah. The other third, the 29th?
I think we originally suggested that, and you weren't able to make it, Shanti.
Let's see.
Because that was my original thought, was that we had the 5th Thursday and I knew nothing would be in council chambers.
Right. Now, we've moved our trip to Cherry Valley to the following week. So I could do the 29th.
You could do
now.
The 29th. Okay. All right. So I will look at the 9th, the 20th, and the 29th.
Okay. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I in the right spot?
You are in the right spot. Give us a couple of minutes and it'll be more familiar.
Alrighty, I think we're all set then, unless anybody has any other...
Just for agenda items for next time, we have discussed, I believe, having as a standing old business item, the scorecard.
Yes.
Are we still okay with doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know how that fell off.
You mean the company?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I can put that back on, Marie, not a problem.
Sorry. Thank you. Brian, did you say you were going to look into the... 19th?
Yeah.
The 21st and the 29th?
The 19th, the 21st, and the 29th.
Right,
that's
right.
Because
I had a conflict the 20th.
You had the conflict. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Brian, I'll be in touch with you about the Old North Road thing.
Okay.
I think they need a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All in favor of departing this new location?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Brian.